The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 1 Podcast.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome in. It has been quite a week, and we still have a couple more hours to go, and there's a lot of news to share with you as we say hello to you on a Friday afternoon. Thanks so much for being a part of our program. Let's get right to it. Some big headlines to talk about, and then it's all about Jalen Carter. NFL teams weigh Carter's talent against his arrest before the draft. The unfolding story about Jalen Carter, we still don't have all the details. We hope to have a few more this afternoon when we talk to Mark Schlabaugh. Nick Saban in the news today did an interview with SI.com and doesn't seem very happy about what is perceived to be the way the SEC is going. Nothing is official yet. The conference has not made a final determination, although it's likely that all the schools are going to know pretty soon who their three permanent rivals are. And according to Ross Dellinger, it looks like Alabama's permanent rivals are going to be Tennessee, Auburn, and LSU. And Nick Saban sat down with Ross the other day and spoke about this. And Ross joins us now. Ross, thank you. Saw you were in Tuscaloosa at a basketball game. I started to wonder that there's got to be more to the story than that. And obviously there was, based on what you published today. Good afternoon. Tell us all about the sit down with the king of all college football, Nick Saban.
Driving through town, and thought I'd swing in and chat with Coach Saban a little bit, and it was a good sit down. And then of course the basketball game was that night, so that worked out pretty well. But sit down with Nick Saban was great. You know, there's one thing Nick is really good at. Well, there's a lot of things probably Nick is really good at, but the one thing for us is he's really thoughtful and insightful on talking about the issues in college football and in college sports. And that's what I wanted to sit down with him about, was asking him about the big grand issues in college sports. So we talked a lot about NIL, obviously, and I'll probably have something coming later on that from my time with Nick Saban when it comes to NIL. But we did talk about some SEC things, including the conference scheduling format, which seems to be a pretty popular one among fans. So as soon as I brought it up, Coach Saban certainly gave his feelings on the situation.
Ross, from the very beginning of Saban's tenure at Alabama, he's been advocating for 9 conference games. And we're not, it's not definite yet, but it looks like that's where it's going. Still to be determined. But if that happens, tell us what he told you about the permanent rivals and how he feels about that.
Yeah, well, there's a couple things here. One, he just decided, and I appreciate it for him doing this, he just decided to go ahead and reveal what the SEC had proposed to Alabama as its three permanents, which, as you mentioned there, LSU, Tennessee, and Auburn. And he then gave his feelings on that. If you do the math, I believe that LSU, Tennessee, and Auburn are probably the three most difficult opponents of any of the three given to any other SEC team. But there's a reason behind it. And, you know, I explained that in the story of how the SEC is structuring in kind of picking the three permanents. And I think it's a great system what they've done, you know, and I think it's pretty easy, Paul, to give two teams, to pick the two opponents for every team, you know, two out of the three. It's pretty easy based on primary, secondary rivalries, right? And I think the third opponent is really tricky. And I think the way the league, at least which Coach Saban said, right, is the way the league is picking that the opponents in general is to structure a kind of success metric based on conference, I believe, I would assume, conference standing for the last 10 years. And I think his thoughts were, you know, it should maybe go for the last 20 years or 30 years, the metric. It shouldn't just go for the last 10 years. And so basically what's happening, they're using that metric, I think, to, you know, if you're in the top half of that metric, you know, if you're in the top eight, then you would play two other top eights in a in one bottom. If you're in the bottom eight over the last 10 years in conference standing, you would play two bottom eights in a top. And that's fair, right? I think everybody would say that's balanced and fair. The thing that Coach Saban was arguing is Tennessee, while it's in the bottom over the last 10 years, last year, right, or two, it has risen to the top. And when you historically look at Tennessee for 30 and 50 years out, it's certainly in the top. So his argument is basically Alabama has three top teams.
Ross, I realize what he said, and I realized you mentioned how thoughtful he was. However, and your job is not to be responsible for the reaction to what you write. It's to write what you understand to be the truth, and you did that. But the quick read around the country to the moment your story came out was Nick Saban is complaining, Nick Saban is scared, Nick Saban is this and that. I realized that wasn't your intent, nor did I assume that's what he said, but I'm sure by now you're aware of how his comments have gone over among the public.
I'm aware, and I'll say you know Nick Saban very well, Paul, much better than I do, but even I know that you know Nick Saban knows that what, you know, it's well aware of what, whatever he says, what kind of reaction it's probably going to draw. You know, he, you know, we talk off the record a little bit with him, you know, later in the interview. This was an on the record part, and he knew that, and he probably knew what the reaction was going to be, but I think that he's frustrated. I think that, maybe some other folks at Alabama, too, are frustrated in those three teams. So he probably was well aware, right, of what the reaction was going to be. But I think he wanted to voice his opinion, which he certainly has the right to. And I think they're getting close enough to a decision on this that I guess he decided it was time to go ahead and reveal the three teams and give his stance on it.
Ross, back to Saban's, it seems like Tennessee is the school that he's raising the most conversation about, or maybe I mean Auburn's automatic. It seems like LSU would be automatic based on that's been the biggest game in the SEC in the last 10, 15 years, primarily because of Nick Saban. Is there somebody he would suggest other than Tennessee?
Oh, we certainly didn't talk about that. I'm sure he has feelings on that. We did not discuss maybe what he would like to see. I will say, and you kind of mentioned this there, is that Alabama's schedule is tricky in that they have two pretty long-term rivalries, right, with Auburn and Tennessee, but they also have that LSU game. And like you said, it's been like the number one viewed game in college football, I believe, for the last 10 years on average. And, man, it's tough to get rid of that one, right? So, like I had said earlier, Paul, I think for most SEC teams, and I put out my list of kind of a best educated guess from talking to the league about each team's three permanent opponents and who they would be, it's real easy to get the two because secondary, a lot of teams in the SEC, as historic as that conference is, have a primary and secondary rivalry. And in Alabama's case, that's Auburn and Tennessee. It's pretty easy. I think it's the LSU one, actually, right? That is the one that probably Alabama maybe has, or Nick Saban, you know, maybe has a little bit of an issue with. And, you know, that's his right. But certainly ESPN and the network wants that game every year, I would think. I mean, nobody has said that to me necessarily, but I would think they want that game every year. And while in either new scheduling format, whether it's 8 or 9, you'll have that game at least every other year, right? I think having that every year is really important. So Alabama's three permanents compared to everybody else, it's a little trickier just because they're two longstanding rivalries and they're involved in that game that is just so viewed, you know? So it's a little more difficult for sure. But look, Paul, you're going to have to, you're going to have to break some eggs, right? To do this 9-game, 3-permanent, 6-rotational, you're going to be breaking some eggs there. Everybody's not going to be happy. You know, I put out that list of best guesses for each team, and it wasn't just Alabama fans unhappy, right? There were a lot of
I won't make you go through all 14 because it's available at the website, but just in terms of some that have already created a buzz, even though it's not official yet, although we know where this is going. What else is getting significant debate from just your followers?
Well, let me break it down real quick this way, the way the SEC, I think, is picking these. Nobody from the SEC office has told me this, but just talking to other people around the league at different schools, the way I've ascertained that they're picking these is, one, again, secondary, right, primary rivalries, two, geography, and three, the balance, what I talked to you about earlier, right, top eight, bottom eight, trying to give the top teams in the conference historically two of their own, two top eights and one bottom, and then two bottoms and one top for those in the bottom. And it makes a lot of sense. And so, but that could lead to some tricky things. And I think Florida in Oklahoma is one that where people see and go, what the heck is that? Because those two teams probably, Paul, are maybe the furthest from each other. There's probably more distance between those teams than any other in the league, I'd say. And I'll have those down as my guess that Florida will have Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Georgia as well. They'll have Florida will have Georgia, I think, South Carolina, and probably Oklahoma. And the way that happens is you're doing that balance, right? And you're kind of stuck in that. And so that's one that certainly has drawn some interest.
Ross, let me ask you about Tennessee. I realize it's a projection, but this is what – Tennessee has Alabama. We know that. The others are Vanderbilt and South Carolina. I would think if it ends up like that, they'll be okay with that in Knoxville, won't they?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, historically, you know, when you crunch the conference standings the last 10 years, which apparently the SEC is using as a metric, right, you Alabama is obviously at number one, right? They're the one seed, so to speak, over that stretch. And I've got the list at some point. Don't have it right in front of me.
Yeah, I've got it in front of me. And you've got Auburn with Alabama, Georgia, and Vanderbilt. I'm just trying to come up with a few that are interesting. A&M, LSU, Texas, Mississippi State. So Oklahoma gets knocked out of there. Texas is Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and Arkansas. Those are all three. Those make sense.
Del
Conte alluded to that a couple weeks ago when we spoke to him.
Yep.
Some don't make any sense at all. But, again, that's just Georgia has Auburn, Florida, and Kentucky.
Yeah,
two of those make sense.
And I think the ones that don't make sense, like, for instance, kind of like the Florida, Oklahoma or something like that, I think the ones that don't make sense are there because the league kind of, in a way, for at least for me, I put them there because of the balance, to balance out, to have better parity and better balance. Now, it's interesting what Saban said, and it was in my story, and it kind of got overshadowed a little bit, but he actually said that he hinted at that he thought an 8-game schedule where you have one permanent and 7 rotational teams would give you actually more balance. And I think he's actually right in a way, right? Because everybody would just have one permanent and they'll rotate more teams. They'll rotate two more teams in a lot of, you know, if you look at it that way. So it would be more balanced. But the 9, you know, the nine is will give you, you try to get the best balance you can with the top and the bottom of the league. And to do that, sometimes you've got to create those weird matchups like a Florida in Oklahoma or like what other things did you said, like a Tennessee and maybe South Carolina or something. You've got to create that. You know, Kentucky, Mississippi State, right? And that's one now that we see every year. And it would just be, I think, it would just be kept.
Finally, Ross, 8 versus 9, it seems like this is a television decision. Where are we on that?
Yeah, first has to happen just with like any legislation, especially one as significant as this fall, the ADs will have to give a recommendation to the president. But like most big decisions, this decision's up to the president. And there's obviously a presidential committee that I think Mississippi State President Mark Keenum is over this subcommittee that's over the networks, you know, that deals with the network stuff. And I'm sure they're involved. The network, of course, ESPN, I'm sure, is involved in this. And we talked about it earlier, right? There's a couple things with ESPN. I'm sure that ESPN wants to see LSU and Alabama every year. I'm sure that ESPN wants to see Texas in Texas A&M every year. You know, Paul, I saw some projections that Texas and Texas A&M wouldn't be permanent opponents. You know, in a nine game model, that's crazy. Why would you invite Texas into the league and not have them play A&M every year? So I'm sure ESPN wants that show. Sure, the networks are going to have some say-so, but this is a presidential decision, and I would expect it in the coming weeks. I'd expect that by the end of this month that the ADs will have given a recommendation to the president.
Yeah, well, the presidents, as you know, Ross, meet next week in Nashville. The ADs meet later before Destin, so I guess it's a safe assumption this subject will not go away. Other than that, can you give us just your read on Nick Saban as he has been counted out by some, that then he ends up with the best recruiting class in the country, maybe the best ever. Where is his mindset right now after spending some time with him?
Yeah, every time you count out Nick, right, he comes back with either, you know, that 2020 undefeated season, maybe his best as a coach, at 10-0 in the SEC, that all SEC slate, and then, you know, this year, you know, he went there were some roller coasters the last couple of years. Obviously, they've been a little down, missing the playoffs, and then he comes back with his best recruiting class ever, and like you said, maybe the best ever. I can tell you what, Nick Saban is a driven, motivated individual. And he is motivated by things. He probably wouldn't say it, but I'm sure he was motivated by you know, Jimbo Fisher and them landing the best class last year. And you heard his comments about NIL back in May. I'm sure that motivated, and you could see how frustrated Nick Saban was. So he went out, and look, Alabama just announced, I think, their NIL endeavor or collective entity, whatever word you want to use. And I think they're getting into the game like everybody else. You got to get into this game, and maybe Alabama might have not gotten in it as quick as Texas A&M did. But I think Nick Saban knows that this is a new challenge he needs to tackle.
Fantastic conversation. What a way to start the Friday afternoon off. Ross, many, many thanks. Ross Dellinger starting us off, as we'll talk more about who else seems to be LSU. According to Scott Rabelais, he's now reporting LSU. Permanent will be Alabama, Texas, A&M, and Ole Miss. So everybody is – this is not official yet, but this is certainly the speculation of the hour. We'll get to your phone calls in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back, and more news on the Pac-12. They're still in business, but for how long? Big 12, according to reports, contacting Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah. Suddenly, Colorado a little more attractive with Coach Prime there. Stegman is still around, but for how long? It's the Athens barn that has been hosting basketball forever. Falling concrete causes cancellation of events for the time being. Spring camps, summer open. Auburn opened Monday. Florida and Kentucky opening. Missouri. Some are waiting a while. Schlabaugh joining us. He's had a chance to lock down some more information on Jalen Carter and Kirby Smart. Mandel joins us to talk about the Pac-12. Matt Baker on Florida. Spencer Hall on, I have not the faintest idea. your phone calls right here. And Tracy is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Tracy.
Hey, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
I'm first-time caller, but long-time listener. My husband is a huge, huge fan.
Thank you.
And thank you for having me. And I just wanted to kind of touch on the Brandon Miller situation. I've been listening since last Monday, and there's been a lot that was put out in the beginning that I felt like, you know, a lot of people jumped before getting all the facts, which has been discussed on your show already. But I also want to kind of touch, as sad of a situation as it is, there are things that people are not touching on, which is the boyfriend drove to the two guys. He could have gone a different direction. When do we say, why didn't you make a better decision? Because it's been, why didn't Brandon make a better decision? Why didn't everybody else make a better decision? So my concern is, Michael and Darius were on foot. They literally walked out of the club and walked across the street. That is where Brandon pulled in. It's like a little alleyway type street. And the boyfriend got in their Jeep and pulled in behind them. So the thing is...
Tracy, could I ask you a question? Because I am not that familiar. Where are you getting this information, just for all of our knowledge?
I know people that were in the club when the altercation happened in the beginning.
So this is based... what you're telling us is based on eyewitnesses?
The inside, the verbal altercation inside, yes.
Okay.
Now, if you ride the strip and the club that they were in is directly across the street from the street, I'm sorry, directly across the street from the road.
But Tracy, but here's what I'm trying to say, though, and I don't have any reason to doubt anything you're saying, but you're quoting people. We don't know who they are, and you're stating it as fact. And that's something that is difficult for any of us to understand until – this could be one side of the story.
Well, think about it this way. It has been put out there. The information has already been released, the street where the shooting happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That street is literally dead across the street from the club.
Okay. I'm not disputing. I really don't want to dispute any of this. I'm just trying to get to a point.
Right. So I think what I'm trying to say is if we want to say Brandon Miller should have made a better decision and this one and that one and the other should have made a better decision, we need to cover it.
Yeah, but Tracy, let me come back and say this. Brandon Miller really is the only person in question right now. Two people are in jail. The boyfriend clearly suffered a terrible tragedy. I think that would be an understatement. And beyond that, I don't really know what else is in question. The question that most people here are discussing is whether or not Brandon Miller should have been arrested. I think most people are comfortable with that, at least people with whom we've spoken. And then the question is, should anything have happened internally? Where everybody's car was and what happened inside the club isn't germane to the Brandon Miller issue.
Well, what I'm trying to say is because Brandon Miller his name has been drugged through the mud for not.
Well, he's the only person that really most of us have ever heard of.
Right, and I understand that. But I'm saying if we're going to place blame, we need to place it where it lays. And everybody made bad decisions if anybody made bad decisions. Brandon was already apparently headed to the club to pick them up because the club closed about the time that he got there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was already.
That is not in question either.
Right. So, in my opinion, you can't and I'm just giving my opinion on this part. Yes, if he had known that the gun was in the back and known that everything else was taking place, then yes, maybe he could have said, you know what? No, I'm not going to bring it, but I'll come get you. But when you really get down to brass tacks, you can't keep somebody's property from them, no matter what the situation is. So it that's the sad part about it. And then I flip it around and say this way. If he had not come down there when he did, would these two guys be dead? You know?
You know, I really, I have no answers. What I do have to do is go to a break. Thanks for the call, Tracy. We are coming back much more right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Back, and Evelyn is up next. Good afternoon, Evelyn.
Paul, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good. I wanted to call and say something. This Brandon Miller thing has been driving me nuts. Everybody has decided that they are above the police, that they know what should and should not be done. They seem to think that they're judges and jury. And the police officers that arrested the other gentleman involved, if they had thought Brandon Miller was involved and should have charges, he would have them. He has not gotten any charges against him, and this is crazy nonsense, the way people are treating him. It needs to be stopped. People need to quit talking like they know everything when they don't. And I feel very sorry for Brandon Miller and the people at the Alabama football team, or basketball team, the coaches, everybody, because they are being harassed and treated like they're criminals, and they're not. And Brandon Miller is a very, very nice young man. I'm very proud of the way he has handled all this mistreatment, and I want him to know that. I want the team to know that I'm very proud of them, and I think everybody in Alabama should be proud of them. And everybody in the country should be proud of them and quit hounding him, and that includes you, because you've been saying some things that I didn't think were appropriate to. And that's my opinion.
Evelyn, thank you. Jerry is up next. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, Paul. Well, she kind of stole my thunder there. I was just wanting to say, everybody keeps saying everything about Brandon Miller, and if he would have been arrested and charged, I could see kicking him off the team or suspending him or whatever. But, there's innocent until proven guilty, and he was never even proved guilty. So I'm not understanding the whole he should have been benched and all this. Everybody just jumps all over, especially people that are for opposing teams. They're all, oh, yeah, he should have been immediately benched. Like, for what? He's innocent until proven guilty. I just don't understand.
Dustin is up next in Oklahoma. Hello, Dustin.
Hey, Paul. Happy Friday. How are you, brother?
We're doing okay. Thank you.
Hey, I had a comment, and then I've got a question for you. Normally, I wouldn't even want to comment on this, but it just kind of bugged me. Earlier in the week, I called in, and somebody followed me named Mitch, and it came up that I, was trying to make people like me or try too hard or about this bracket deal or whatever. That's not the case. I care if you like me and enjoy me because it's your show, but I'm not trying to make friends or climb up any bracket. Hell, you can take me out of the thing if you want to. I don't, it's not going to really affect anything. I just, I really just enjoy your show, man. I enjoy it. It's a nice break from what is kind of a stressful job, and I like ducking in here every day and calling in and shooting the breeze or asking questions or whatever. But I haven't really thought of it as a vehicle for popularity or anything like that.
Yeah, I think sometimes, Dustin, we all forget this isn't high school. And
yeah.
But that's okay. We do like you here, Dustin, and we appreciate it, and I wouldn't give that another thought. Jim is up next.
Paul, I'm going to try to be firm. I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to try to be kind and Christian-like in my assessment about you regarding Brandon Miller. And the lady two calls ago, I totally, completely agree with her about the judges and jury. I hate to say this. I mean, you know me, I don't know what kind of Christian I am. I know I am one. I know God loves me. I know I'm in his hands. I know that. But I'm trying to tell you something. What do you call somebody? Peter, they said Peter, St. Peter, you know, he cut the ear off of the soldier that grabbed Jesus. You know that, right?
Right.
So I'm trying to make a point. People have told me I've got his personality. I'm the kind of guy that don't like messing bad stuff. And I would probably have cut his ear off too, but Jesus said, rebuked him and said, that's not my way. I'm just saying, Paul, I think you've been unfair to Brandon Miller, just like the lady said, but I also love the show, you know that, and I respect you to a great extent. I hope I'm making my point, but I think it's outrageous. I tell you what, only God would have to prevent me from what I'd wish on Trey Travis and all the crap he's put out there that's judgmental, rotten, no good. And they, as the lady said, and people don't know. And even you said, we don't know. You told the caller that was trying to make a case out of this, about four callers ago. Anyway, I can't remember who it was. And you told her, look, you don't know what's going on, even though it's in the club. We don't know. I wish it would stay that way, Paul. Why can't it stay that way? Just let the damn trial come out in the trial. You know what I mean?
Well, listen, I'm not going to add any more, even though I disagree with one of your premises. I'm not going to continue
okay,
arguing.
What do you disagree with?
Jim, I'll say this about my own views. I have given very few opinions on the Brandon Miller case. I've tried to keep the conversation calm. Unlike the person you mentioned, I have not spewed out venom and hate and defamatory comments or scurrilous comments or untrue comments. I've tried to be as responsible as anyone can be without knowing really any of the facts. Forget all the facts.
I've heard you say he should have been arrested. I disagree with that.
Jim, I'm going to go back on what I said. I will stay here until the end of time if you can ever show where I said what you just got through saying, because that is a scurrilous lie. You just accused me of something that is not just untrue, it's 100% untrue. And it's outrageous that you would literally make something up that I said that isn't even close to being true.
Paul, I correct myself. You said he should have been suspended.
I've never said that either.
I think initially you said initially he should have been suspended for a game. You told somebody that yesterday. I know for a fact you said that to some.
I'm not concerned about whether I said he should have been suspended. I am pretty concerned about what you just got through saying, though.
Well, no, I took back what I was wrong
Jim, being wrong about something is one thing. You just spewed an outrageous lie about me.
What did I say, though? I made a mistake, Paul. I made a mistake.
You ought to think twice before you start making those type of defamatory mistakes in the future. We'll take a short break. Back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back, and we thank you very much for being here on a Friday afternoon. Peggy is in Tennessee. Hello, Peggy.
Woo! Lord! Are you there?
I am, Peggy. How are you?
Oh, okay. Honey, I'm sorry. My blood pressure. That was something, I tell you. I was almost going to hang up. I said it was like being, you know, being on hold. It reminded me too much of Dayton back in the 70s and 80s. I just didn't like it. I was getting ready to hang up, and then that last call, and I'm telling you, I just couldn't move. I just couldn't move. How? I just don't even know. You stood up yourself, and good for you.
Well, thank you, Peggy.
Good for you. I mean, it was, I seen that, you know, look, I'm a, wow, I just don't even know. I seen it coming. It was just kind of heading that way, you know, and good for you. You just, that was really good. I enjoyed that. And I thought I had two or three things I wanted to talk about, but after that, they just kind of all went out the window, so to speak.
Well, Peggy,
I had some things that I was going to say, but I didn't feel like it fit. I didn't feel like anything funny made sense. I didn't feel like have a real good John Ward story to tell you, but I don't even think that fits right now. I just want to say you handled it, and I'll call back and tell you about the John Ward story.
Peggy, I look forward to that because John Ward's one of my favorite people when I was at school up there. Hey, thank you very, very much. Jason is up next in Georgia. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Paul. You said something about Jim spewing off at the mouth before he thinks. That's every day. When does Jim not spew off the mouth? He never thinks. He just starts speaking, and then he says, I'm sorry, I should have said that. But that's what he does any time that he calls. Now, on the Brandon Miller thing, I don't know anything for facts. But if you want to tell me that at this age, young kids are with their cell phones, everybody are with their cell phones, that you had no idea that the gun was in the car, that you're going somewhere at 2:30 in the morning, and there's no way that anything bad could come from this, I'm not buying it.
I found it really beyond the pale for this woman a minute ago to suggest that the bad actor here was the boyfriend of the deceased.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just like, I don't even know what to make of that. These kind of phone calls. It's like, so let's just go 100%. I mean, for Alabama, I know you're an Alabama fan, but I don't understand how people are not able to think through things. I don't really get it, I guess.
Well, I understand. Jason, it's an emotional issue.
Naive.
Thank you for the call. I think a lot of it is based on misinformation, and there's a lot of reasons for that. I-Man is up next.
Well, I don't know what the hell happened, but I don't normally drink a whole lot, but today is Friday. It's been an unusual week. Cousin Eddie didn't get on the stand. And I've drank a little tequila. And I tell you what, who's the fellow that's cutting off the ears? Peter?
Yeah.
Is that right, Peter?
Now, is that tequila? Is that like a tequila sunrise?
No, that's just straight damn tequila.
Okay. It's not another tequila sunrise.
Hey, this is Michael Jackson moonwalking tequila.
Oh, okay.
You know, I tell you what I think I'm going to do. I think I'm going to start cutting off
Mitch's tequila.
It's Eagles tequila, but it ain't an easy feeling. But it is easy. I think I'm going to cut off Mitch's ear. I'm going to cut off Dustin's ear. I'm going to cut off one of Jim's ears. And I'm going to tell them all go to finger painting class and call yourself Damn Van Gogh. Have a good day.
Michael is up next. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. Hey, I just want to mention something about this Brandon Miller situation.
Okay.
I've been listening since this went down to your station, and I've heard the majority of the people throw this kid under the bus. He should be arrested. You know, he's an accessory, should be put off the team. Nate Oat should be fired. But it's just amazing, amazing how the mob jumps onto something before all the facts are out. Now, what I wanted to mention is the issue regarding Miles texting Miller, bring me my gun. So what people, it seems like they fail to realize that Miles had already texted Miller, you know, to come pick him up, that he wanted to go to another club, another bar, another club, one or the other. But this text message that came through, who's to say that Miller even read the text message while he was on the way to pick up Miles? That's what I haven't heard one person mention that yet. Maybe he didn't see the text message. I mean, when I'm driving, if I don't have my phone paired to my, you know, I'm not reading the text coming in right offhand right when it comes in. So that's just what I think. I don't think Miller read the text message. I don't think he knew the gun was in the car, because from what I've heard, it was under clothes or books or something in the back seat. He never touched the weapon. And I guarantee you, when Miles was arrested, and when Miller was brought in for questioning, the police went through both of their phones. And I guarantee you they saw Miller never.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.